Here we go. Welcome to the Transform with Travel podcast, where we share stories of personal transformation and life lessons through our experiences of traveling and exploring the world. Travel is the ultimate accelerator for personal growth, and it can be the root catalyst for the pivots and plot twists we make in our lives. I'm your host, Kelly Tolliday, and it's my mission to inspire you to live life to its fullest, travel with an open mind and heart, and let the world show you a new perspective. I'm so grateful you're here with us today, so let's dive right in. Happy exploring. Welcome to the Transform with Travel podcast. I'm sitting here with a dear friend of mine, Ashley Brown. We have known each other since college back at Florida State, and we've just been following each other's journeys for the last 10 plus years, and now we've been collaborating together on our businesses, and it's just been so cool to be able to grow together and now sitting across from each other during this podcast. Thank you, thank you, thank you for joining us today.
Oh my gosh, I'm so honored to be here, and you said it perfectly. I feel like it's really special when you can look back and you have a decade of friendship behind you and then to also support one another's dreams. So Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me today.
Of course. I mean, I just had a call with one of our other sorority sisters and called yesterday for another collaboration with their business. And it's like, wow, to see all these amazing women doing kick-ass stuff right now is just, it's awesome. And I love it so much. So for those listening who don't know Ashley, Ashley Brown is a bridge building strategist with spiritual insights and a passion for travel. Ashley currently works at Deloitte, where she plays a pivotal role in the firm's client and market growth and enterprise portfolio management. Growing up with a culturally rich background, Ashley's family roots span from Peru to Germany, and this unique upbringing instilled in her a deep appreciation for diversity and a love for exploration from an early age and a love for language. For Ashley, learning languages isn't just about academics or adding another feather to her cap. It's a key to unlocking the fullness of other cultures. Ashley's story doesn't stop there. We're also going to explore in this episode her spiritual passion and her journey to create what she calls a soul hustle, the conscious crop. This venture is a sustainable, upcycled, and eco-friendly for-profit retail company reflecting her deep empathy for the world and her understanding of our greater place in the universe. So welcome, Ashley.
Thank you so much, Kelly. I'm so honored to be here again.
So I would love for you to just start a little bit about your upbringing. You mentioned you have family from Peru all the way to Germany, speaking multiple languages. I'd love for you to talk a little bit about what that means to have such a rich cultural background and what that means to be able to speak multiple languages.
Yeah, thank you so much for this question. So I have a split upbringing, like you said. So I spent my early years here in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, up until about ninth grade, and then we moved out to Colorado. My dad was actually expanding the light rail project, which is like the fast track program there. And I spent high school in Parker, Colorado. It was a big change. I went from private to public school, about 90 kids in a grade to like 600 plus. So that was huge. Traveling has always, however, been a significant part of my life. And my parents were both very adventurous when we were kids and always kind of had us tag along with them on these trips, whether it be domestic or international. And I know you also bring your kids along on travel. So that was really, really special. Early travel memories, actually, I have this trip my mom told me where I was going to Peru and I was actually handing out peanuts to all the passengers when they woke up. I was 2 years old, just a little one, itty bitty, like following her behind with the snack cart and the drink cart. And I was like, peanuts, peanuts. And my mom was like, oh my gosh, where is she? She's over there. So that was something really cool to hear about later on. And I know like, they say you don't necessarily remember, you know, the memories when you go as a kid, but I think you do remember the emotions that were experienced. And then you also just have like these rich stories and pictures, and they really bring you right back into that moment.
Do you feel like, because you've heard that story so many times, do you feel like you can almost recall a sense of that? You can almost recall a memory? Like, I don't know, my parents tell me stories of when I was two or three traveling with them, and I feel like somewhere deep, deep back in my memory, I feel like I have it, you know?
Totally.
It almost feels like a dream, like you can see it, but you're not 100% sure if it happened.
Yes, it's exactly like that, I think, Kelly. So that's really cool that you also have that experience with it, and that's how I feel about this memory in particular. So as you mentioned, I do have family connections in both Europe and Latin America. My aunts both married Peruvians. So essentially, like, they ended up moving to the Munich area in Germany. And we've been traveling kind of like back and forth ever since. I was actually brought up bilingual by the time I was two. I was speaking both English and Spanish fluently. And my aunts and uncle, one aunt in particular, one uncle and my grandmother had moved to the U.S. from Peru at the time, and they were living either with my family or near my family. Again, I was like really little, so I couldn't remember. But they recall me, you know, kind of like recapping directions to them in both languages and translating it. So it's really cool to hear about that. And then they tell me that, you know, I was very enthusiastic as a kid, that I had this affinity for kind of like performing for my parents, singing, dancing. I loved making the room like a whole stage, I guess. And this, I was already like experimenting, I guess you can say, with various career aspirations from the time I was a child. And I kind of recalled a few of these, and you took me on such a wonderful journey, you know, when you sent over the questions, I was like, let me really think about these a little bit more. And it was just, it was beautiful to remember some of it. But I would, you know, do anything from be a veterinarian to like an Olympian or a librarian. And I also have a little sister that loved playing along with me and playing dress up. So what's really cool about this, I think, is I look back, and I don't know if your audience or you're as familiar with human design, but in human design, I'm what you call a manifesting generator, an MG. So this type of archetype of personality within human design really is meant to have like this varied role, like these varied roles and experiences in life, right? And like, I look at it as I came into life and it was like my own amusement park and I wanted to ride every ride. So that was kind of my experience as a child. And you can imagine with both languages and everything, how that kind of, you know, influenced my upbringing. So it was funny too, because my family always joked and they said, and I think if you have a kid that likes to speak and, you know, is confident in themselves and carries a conversation with adults from a young age, they would joke about me being, they're like, she's going to be the first like female president, you know, of the United States. And it's funny because they weren't far off there. I actually did end up moving to D.C. for 5.5 years, and I worked in both the legislative and executive branches of the U.S. government. So it's really, really cool to see all of this come full circle. And I really do think that my diverse experiences and travels have shaped my journey, leading to like all these unique insights that I've gleaned now in my life.
Yeah, that's incredible. What led you to the path of having all these multi-passions? It seemed like you're really multi-passionate human. And even as a kid, you were always so interested in so many different things. I do think, this is a sidebar, I do think having multiple languages in your home or in your life, it unlocks certain pathways in your brain that just a soul, like a monolingual person might have. And I wonder if that leads to more creativity and more problem solving and being able to like see more opportunities. Like you're able to see more opportunities perhaps because your brain is like firing on all these different levels.
Yeah, it's absolutely possible. And they say that linguistics kind of falls into that right hemisphere of the brain, which delves more into like the creative aspect of self and the artistic expression of self. And I always found kind of learning multiple languages to be kind of a natural skill set that I developed. So I also did, I spoke French for a time in college. And then there was a time that I had moved, I had spent multiple summers, I should say, like abroad in Germany, and ended up really delving into that language and learning it. And you really do see the world from an entirely different perspective. And I can actually give you a small example of this, but which I was thinking through on like the influence of languages, but phrases like, you know, that translate, I'll say with Spanish and English, those are the two that I'm most familiar with, right? And grew up with my mother, who was from Lima, Peru. And she would always say when a phrase kind of didn't directly translate from one culture to the next, she would say, no tiene sentido. And if that were directly translated into English, it would actually mean it has no feeling, which of the senses, like the five senses that we think of, when actually a more accurate translation of that would be like it doesn't have sentiment, or there's no sentiment like in this language, there's no meaning. So, and I think about that all the time, and I think that's why I'm really attracted to like foreign film and literature and that kind of thing, because the stories in the worlds that you can get transported to are just like these different parallel realities when you understand a different language, right?
And so I guess kind of speaking on that, growing up with such a multicultural family, What was that like for you in terms of like identity and growing up in South Florida and Colorado, which has its own demographic markup, and then going to visit family from Peru, which has its own demographic, and then Germany, which is a wildly different, like, what was that like for you growing up in terms of setting your own identity and who you are?
Totally. And I think a lot of Latinos, Latinx, can probably, anyone with like a Hispanic Spaniard upbringing can probably resonate with this, where it's like, I would go to Peru and they'd always be like, oh, you sound like a gringa, like you sound like a white girl, you know, oh, you like Taylor Swift, you like that kind of music, that's the kind of Spanish you speak. Or I'd be in the States and I wouldn't quite fit in here either. So it was interesting kind of being put in this box from a cultural lens of what we understood. And I do think our society has evolved so much, Kelly, but I think back then I was feeling a little out of sorts, you know, out of place when I was in elementary school, when I was in the cafeteria with friends and the majority of my K through 12 was Caucasian. In Colorado, there were very few minorities. I would say even fewer than in South Florida.
Yeah, I can imagine.
And yeah, it was just small things like bringing rice to lunch, you know, and like having people be like, what is that? And questioning what I had in my Tupperware and being like really self-conscious about that, or not really understanding how maybe the census or the decennial puts together their surveys, or even when you take standardized tests and being asked like, okay, well, are you Caucasian or white? But then like, what is, you know, they ask race and then ethnicity and it's like, but are you like white Hispanic or white Caucasian, or are you like Hispanic Caucasian? And just to see kind of like the evolution of that word and what's that, what that's meant throughout American history. It's been like really interesting both for myself and to see myself within this history and how we've like evolved as a society.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you literally have to put yourself into a box when you take tests or do your driver's license or any sort of, you know, governmental applications, job applications, every single time you're confronted with, who am I? What am I?
Totally. Like,
that's so, as you've evolved through that, has that been like for you to have family all over the world? Do you go and visit them often? What is it like to like reconnect with your family in your like ancestral roots?
That's such a good question. So I think going back to my parents specifically, it's not every day that you do have family abroad and your parents also give you this opportunity to travel, but also to learn and speak multiple languages. Like when we were kids, I remember spending mornings and afternoons on a Saturday learning, going to escuelita, which is like little school, and like doing my mom's workbook from school when she was a kid and learning how to read, write, and speak Spanish. And that gave me such a different experience when I was actually traveling in Peru. And when we'd go to Peru, for instance, I'd spend a month or, you know, a month and a half in this place. And I never knew that I had this much family because, like, in Peru, you could be a third cousin, fourth cousin.
Right.
No one really cares. Everyone's just primo, primo.
Yeah, which is everyone's like cousin, family.
Cousin. Yeah. Which is so cool to have such a big family. And not only that, but they all come and, like, show up for like everything that's going on in your life. I had a 14th birthday at a bowling alley in Larcomar, which is like in Lima, Peru, in the Miraflores area. And I remember having just people, like people, invite their mothers, invite their, you know, cousins, like that I didn't even know I had. And by the time we had like a 50 person birthday party at a bowling alley.
Right.
And then when you invite people here in the US, it's like maybe you'll get 50% attrition. I don't know. So anyways, being there was so special. I remember and meeting and having so many friends that were like inbuilt through community and family. And I remember like playing with my cousins in the alleyways of Lima, Peru, like kicking around a soccer ball and going through to a soccer field. We actually taught, we were really into cheerleading as kids. So like we taught some of our cousins how to make like a cheerleading pyramid, or we would spend these really long, leisurely lunches, you know, when everyone's like, oh, Sunday, I'm going to have lunch, or like in Domingo, en la casa, vamos a comer en mi casa. Everyone comes and it's just like this huge family gathering around the table. And you're there for like 4 or 5, you know, sometimes 6 hours in afternoon. You're outside playing with the kids. I remember playing Pokemon cards, and like the cultural things that were cool here in the US were also cool there, but doing it in Spanish. And, you know, it was really, really awesome. And I honestly never wanted to leave. Like I saw these people have such a joy and appreciation for life. And like compared to the folks in US, they really don't have as much, you know, like we went to private school growing up. I'm used to having all my friends like had houses on the water, going on boats. This is like the 1%. And then you go to Peru and it's like, no, I mean, they're barely making ends meet. And like, look how much they're doing for others. Look at them cooking these huge meals for others. And I'd say the same thing about it's a very different culture in Germany, but like being able to go there. And I had my aunt who's lived there since she got married. She has her own garden, and it's like this aspect of growing your own food in your garden. It's like this farm to table lifestyle. It's getting on a bike. Like I would get on a bike with her and we'd have our basket and we'd ride into town in Landshut and we'd pick out our groceries and like whatever our basket could carry. And we'd come back and like we'd use that and like whatever was in her garden to make this fresh, delicious meal. And it's just so different from the way we live our lives here in the West. Mm-hmm.
That, I mean, you've had some pretty transformative experiences at such a young age, the richness in which you describe those situations, some people don't get those experiences ever. And so I think it's such a value. And when people say, we talk about this a lot on the podcast about traveling with kids, but when people say they're not going to remember it, why bring them? Or it's really expensive or, you know, it's challenging, all the things. But look at how much you remember all of these experiences and how profound that it's been and shaped your life. You mentioned apart from seeing family that your parents, you were, you know, lucky enough that you went on a lot of the trips with your parents. There was business trips. You guys took, you know, vacations as a family. Apart from childhood all the way through to now, are there any points of travel or trips or vacations that you can really remember being like, that changed my life or that instilled something within me that I'm going to carry with me forever?
Yeah, and this is a great question. You know, I spoke about some of the early childhood memories. And like when you're a kid, you can't necessarily choose all the time.
True.
But when you're an adult, you kind of choose it for yourself. So when I was thinking about this, I was like trying to reframe it from like, when did that transformation and what was the significant moment that really shaped my travel experiences as an adult and as I've grown older? And you say it all the time, and I think it's so beautiful, but there's like this interconnectedness of journeys that really kind of like weaves this beautiful like tapestry. I love that you said that. And I feel like one of those opportunities for me, and I do feel very blessed and fortunate, is when I studied abroad in Spain for through FSU, through the Valencia College, or it was the study abroad school in Valencia, Spain for FSU. And, you know, shout out to my program, 2014, the beginning of summer, we went there and spent a few months, you know, in Spain. And it was not only just like going there. And I think you can, you know, take this for granted as a student that gets the opportunity to study abroad. And I think you can go and party and like have that experience for yourself. But for me, I really wanted to take away that daily immersion in culture, local culture, like the arts, the local markets, the cuisine. I remember we had like these cheques, which was an awesome program. You probably remember, but they allowed us to like get meals like in the local community as students that were studying abroad.
Oh, cool.
And so we would go in like big groups. And one of my favorite parts of being in Spain with like all FSU students my age was like, Spain has a culture of tapas style eating, sangria, like long tables. Again, these really long meals, like 4 and 5 hours, you know, like multiple courses, small plates. I love that so much. But also talking to the local businesses, you know, I think we visited like the Astoria, the hotel, like there was a lot of hospitality emphasis, but we were like talking to the managers. We were engaging with the local like coffee shops and markets, really utilizing our Spanish. And I did become that girl like in my group that was always translating for the group. So as much as like sometimes I was like, oh man, not again, it was also like really great that I could be that for folks.
Totally.
That like, because when you have the security of the language, you have like a different level of like security and culture.
Absolutely.
So that was the moment that I think, you know, traveling really became my own. And I also really want to acknowledge like this like study of the culture, like while we were there, and the emphasis on like specifically, I took a class in Hispanic cinema, which was so cool to see kind of like the nuances of filmmaking in other countries and just unpacking these nuances in a way that I hadn't before, I guess. And I do want to pivot to one more travel experience, but I don't want to like get ahead of myself there.
Oh my gosh, go for
it. Yeah. So that was like, really, you know, there's something empowering about being an adult, doing it, going it on your own, choosing it for yourself. And then I think that So in 2021, I did a retreat, my first retreat actually, to Maui. And it was just absolutely transformative and just had such a profound impact on me.
What was the, like, was it yoga? Was it wellness? What was the main theme, I guess?
It was yoga and wellness. And we did a lot of like herbalism and the connection to the stars. And actually, like, it was a huge, like, permaculture off the grid kind of situation where we went and like foraged for like plants and made our own coconut like sun oil like to, you know, prevent sunburn and stuff like that. And we were really eating off the land. So this was in an area of Maui known as Hana, but like a specific kind of like little village within Hana. Mm-hmm. And they didn't even want to be found out on social media. So they're like, don't tag us, like tag Kipahulu, tag Hana, but don't tag our agricultural farm, you know? And it was through a connection with a friend of mine that ran like a retreat. She still runs retreats, but she had developed like this relationship with the farm. And so that was so cool. For the first time ever, I think I was living entirely organic, entirely natural. Like they told us to bring all organic products, you know, like, which I was like, oh gosh, I got to order some things that are all organic and natural. What does that even mean? Like, really, when you get there, you're like, okay, like, forget makeup, forget hair. It's just not even going to happen for me. And then this transformation of just eating off the land, picking your own food, being outdoors, being barefoot in the grass all day, seeing like where the water meets the sky, like the expansive land and the agriculture of this farm. And I truly felt like I was on this is what I would call like heaven on earth, like my experience in Maui. And a lot of people know that Maui is the heart chakra of the world, but also it's in my, I don't know if you've heard of astral cartography, but it's also one of the locations in my astral cartography.
How cool. Wow.
And so like I feel like I was really predestined to go there and experience this. So that was amazing.
And so for people who are listening that don't know what astral cartography is, it is where it basically like plot based on your birthday and time, it plots certain areas and or like specific places in the world where you have different energetic shifts or transformations or things like you might live there, you might move there, you might get married there, that kind of thing, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, different geographic locations of significance. So
I just had like a flashback when you were saying you can only bring organic ingredients, like makeup, that kind of thing. It's like the show World's Strictest Parents and they make them like empty their bags
and they
like check all of their stuff. I can imagine like see them going through the ingredients. And
that's so funny. I have not seen that show.
Oh, okay.
But now I need to.
My husband loves watching the British version of it. So you've mentioned some pretty epic trips, some pretty transformational trips. And we're definitely going to talk about your time in Costa Rica. Ashley came with Rising Nature Retreats as a guest and also as a collaborator for our Costa Rica retreat in September 2023. And we'll get to that in a little bit. But I would love for you to talk a little bit of your journey about your quote unquote soul hustle, the conscious crop, because you worked in government, in federal government for 5 to 6 years. Mm-hmm. You lived in DC. You moved back here. You're working for Deloitte now. You have a really great job at Deloitte. And at some stage, you were feeling a little bit of a conflict within you of what's my impact? What do I want to do? Taking care of your mental health, taking care of your physical health. And then Conscious Crop was born. So can you go through a little bit of those steps of like what brought you to kind of wake up a little bit and be like, wait, what do I want and what am I going to share with the world?
You know, I love how you frame that. And I love that you know it so like intimately and because I have shared with Kelly and Chloe and they were such a pivotal part of like inspiration and, you know, opportunity for us as a business. So what had happened, as Kelly said, is that I was at a stage in my career where I had worked, you know, around the clock in DC. I had done the thing. I had worked at Deloitte. I was in government consulting. I was working for multiple clients. I was doing initiative work and what we also call like request for proposals and proposal work, pursuit work for the firm, which is like that revenue driven aspect. And there was like 60 hour weeks. And I also was on, sadly, a team that didn't so much value mental health, which was evidenced by, you know, a scenario that had happened. But for me, I kind of said, when is enough enough? And like, when do I know what it's like, or I know the kind of life I want to live, and this isn't it. So I had taken a break, and it ended up being 9 weeks off where I went on a leave of absence. And this was such a beautiful time and such a transformational time in my journey where I told myself, I'm going to wake up and I'm going to have some overarching themes and goals, but I want to, you know, unfold into every day, seeing what's lighting me up in the universe, like what's the next ping, where am I going? And that's very much aligned with my human design. And one day I had gone to a rising nature retreat and there was this pull on my soul to have some sort of a soul hustle or something that was really aligned with my spiritual and creative side. I was exploring a few courses with even like spiritual coaching. And I know why folks had been saying, you know, Ashley, you connect with folks on such a different level. You know so much about like different spiritual modalities. You also have the experience of like working in government, working in corporate, like you could help out so many people. And I just, through being a friend to so many people, like, and really empathizing with them in a deep way, they saw like my power as like a healer in that way. Mm. So for me, spiritual coaching made sense, but I was also just like open to however the journey unfolded. And I went to a Rising Nature mini retreat that they do on Saturdays. You all on this podcast are probably very familiar. And we did a beautiful sound bath and had just like a wonderful experience. And I felt called to kind of tell, you know, my breakout group, I guess we can call it, or small group, that I took this break and I'm trying to empty my shell a little bit so I could fill it back up. Mm. So I know I'm just going to hear what the path and the ping is like for my soul. I'm just going to follow those pings. And what my goal is to like dive into the soul hustle of, you know, sorts. And I had also done a paint and sip with like my best friend Cassidy, who's like also now one of the co-founders of the Conscious Crop. And we met this guy at the Delray Market who was actually running the class. And he was telling us like this side hustle of how he would sell like tie-dye shirts on eBay. And he was like such like, he's like, I make like $2,000 a week passive. And we're like, that's cool. And like,
of course, he has a passive. He always got to tell you it's passive.
Yeah.
The new buzzword.
Exactly. And I'm like, well, that's cool. And I ended up painting like a Squidward from SpongeBob with like a tie-dye shirt instead of like a regular shirt. So Cassidy was joking and she's like, Ashley, maybe this can be your side hustle. So that coming full circle, I had left the retreat, the mini retreat that Kelly and Chloe hosted through Rising Nature, and I had taken a trip to Naples to see an old and dear friend of mine, of ours, also a sorority sister, right? Kat Ross. And she has traveled all over the world. She's an entrepreneur, like of sorts. Like, I don't know how many different endeavors she's been a part of, but she's always been like very inspirational to me. And if anyone can like make me do anything or sell anything to me, it's Kat for sure. This time it wasn't so much like that. It was more like the realizing of potential though. So we mm-hmm. drove up to Naples that day. And I say we because Cassidy and my sister Brenda joined me in this journey. And we just had this continuation of this like kind of living your life freely, like just like saying yes to the pings. We ended up going to one of her friends' houses, JJ, who had like the most beautiful like retreat kind of space background, like beautiful porch, like rattan lamps. We were like all sitting around like telling stories. But then we realized like, hey, we're sitting in this semicircle and there's seven of us. So I think one of the other guys in the group was like, and you know what it's like, guys in the spiritual community, it's kind of funny. They're like, what if each of us represented a chakra? And so for those of you that don't know the chakras, they start with the root, then the sacral moving through the solar plexus. And that was like the guys in the group. And then there was Kat, who was like the heart chakra connecting everyone, of course. And then at the top half was myself, Brenda, and Cassidy. And we were the throat chakra, the third eye, and the crown chakra, which like were really cool and representative during our journey. I remember Brenda had said she was, you know, trying to, her throat chakra had closed up, or it was really always kind of closed, like compared to what she had like wanted it to be in her life. And then everyone's chakra like kind of like moved them almost to tears. I remember this one guy, he was like, working in the United Nations. And so the solar plexus chakra is really connected with like our ego-based energy and our work and like what we do here in our lifetime. And for me, it was like I had started to see clearer. So for me, I was like the third eye, the pineal gland. It was like really cool. And so then and there, like on, you know, in the semicircle, I turned to Brenda and Cassidy and I'm like, I want to start like this side hustle I've been talking about, but I want to do it with you both. Aww. And so it was kind of like the idea was planted. And then like as this trip evolved, the next day we just spent the day at the pool with Kat and her brother Nick, and we were, you know, going in and out of the sauna. We were diving in. They had an art and creative room. We were like playing with clay. We were painting. And as we were doing this, we were like, hey, I think so, like, what could we do? Like, what could this side hustle actually be? And Brenda has such an eye for like aesthetics and design and has always been into fashion, you know, and makeup and jewelry as a very young girl. Like Cassidy is like the sunshine, and she's kind of like the encourager of the group as well. I kind of think of her as like Sunshine Bear from the Care Bears a little bit. And like, I always tell her, I'm like, your aura is yellow, Cassidy. Aww. Like, and then for me, I guess like I do have the business acumen and I'm a Capricorn rising and I have a lot of drive, and like I am kind of the closer of the group. So it made sense with like what I knew and my know-how and the three of them. We said, hey, why don't we try to start something small, but like, what about crop tops? We had all loved crop tops. And again, in this alignment and this unfolding, I had seen a video for, you know, a YouTuber who had been in Bali, and he was talking about like big energy with the crop tops, man. He's like wearing a crop top, like running around outside. He's like navel exposed, like manifestation, some powerful stuff. And I was just like laughing, telling the girls about this. And it literally came to me at a juice shop. I was like, okay, the conscious crop. I ran it by the girls and they were just like, yes, 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 let's do it. Let's, you know, let's start small. Let's start with like 50 and like try to scale from there, or like see how it goes, basically. So what the conscious crop is a upcycled, sustainable, eco-friendly clothing line that we actually go out and we handpick every item with love. We set intentions for them. We use different spiritual modalities, whether it be in our tie-dyeing methods or upcycling methods, where we use frequency dyeing or angel numbers for like pricing, or, you know, whether we host events where we bring women together and we talk about in community, you know, what does it mean to be in a conscious community? What's going on like in the stars right now? You know, like, what phase of the moon are we in? What does that mean for like our cycles? And, you know, all these topics that traditionally I feel like, before a certain point, I hadn't really seen a ton of women's circles. And our idea was to host those conscious spaces and then also have this, you know, product that we offered. And that's kind of exactly what we did with you all in Costa Rica. Right. So,
yeah. Absolutely. I mean, everyone loves your products that you make. And it's a testament to just the beauty of the products, but also the love behind the products as well. When we were getting ready to launch our Costa Rica retreat, we knew that you and Brenda and Cassidy, your soul hustle, your little baby, the conscious crop, would be a perfect collaborator with the retreat. And so what we did was Brenda and Ashley were able to join on the retreat. We collaborated with a t-shirt design specific for the retreat guests. And then you guys created the tie-dye design and you did all the work for that. You brought scrunchies, you brought other shirts for people to look at. So it was really like this like immersive experience with your brand. People got to meet with you one-on-one in person, build really, really strong relationships with you. And so it was just such a cool way for you guys to get inserted into our community in such a, even more, because you are already a part of our community. You'd been coming to our events. It wasn't like it was just random. You know, it's been such a relationship that's been built over 10 plus years now. And I would love to hear a little bit, because we've never really, apart from having a couple guest teachers on board, we've never really had a brand come on for a full multi-day retreat. We have lots of brands that come to our mini retreats, which are about 3 hours locally here in South Florida. But we've never had a brand come and represent themselves on a 5, 6, 7 day retreat. Mm. So for you, from your perspective, I would love to hear what that was like for you to manage, not just, you know, you're there for healing, you're there for fun, you're there for leisure, for connection with your sister, but then also you're there representing your brand. What was like what was that like for you? Because I've never had to experience that as a retreat facilitator.
Yeah, that's amazing. It was amazing. You gave us the opportunity, you and Chloe. And I think it was just like a hell yes for us on both sides. And it's like a testament to like us and how we work together in our collaboration. But it really is like this dream come true, you know, aligning a vision with this purpose of travel and also like a dharma that we really felt like the conscious crop was, that we were called into it. You know, like there's this book by Elizabeth Gilbert that's called Big Magic. And she discusses ideas like floating through the ether, through the air. And when you kind of like grab one of those ideas down and you say yes to the universe, I'm going to do it. And Paulo Coelho says in The Alchemist, I just listened to your podcast with Brooke, and it sounds like she also read the book, and this is a huge book in the spiritual community.
Oh, with Jennifer.
Yes.
Yeah, Jennifer Maria. Yeah.
Yes, that's who it was. And it's like the whole universe comes up behind you and conspires to help you create. And that's what it felt like when this came full circle. It was a year ago almost that the inception of the idea took place to when we actually went on retreat with you all. So that was so cool on timing and everything. Nothing's a coincidence. Everything's aligned. But we also see the product as like our offering to the spiritual community. And it's so cool to connect with like creators. And we all have a creator inside, but to be, you know, even in local community and have like this to bring to the table. And then others, I'm sure you know, like when you started your podcast or when you started Rising Nature, like went at it, you know, on your own, like it's almost like the universe just keeps like reaffirming you, reinforcing and gifting you these people, experiences, places that just kind of like align with your mission, your soul's journey. So what we had done, as Kelly explained beautifully, is like this uniquely designed like ice dyed crop top is what we call it, where the ice melts over the shirts with like the dyes. They all seep into this like shirt with the sun. So we're really using the elements and incorporating that into the shirt. And we had this vision of Costa Rica that we were holding really high, the Thrive Retreat. And each one of these crop tops, we wanted to be kind of like this living memory of this collective vision and community that we were about to like embark on. So I think that that vision really came to life, and that feeling of being like, for me, I looked at it as like each crop top is so individual and it can fully shine in this container of like the group. And that's what it really like means too, to be like untethered and free amongst the community that really sees you. And so that was like our vision, which I really think was achieved, and like seeing it received and telling the story there, it was just so, so rewarding. I couldn't ask for like a better retreat with better people. And something that really kind of resonates with me now is this idea that, like, you know, in the Western world, we typically try to, you know, focus on sales or meeting quotas and all these different aspects of like having a product, building a business, having a brand, and like what are the dollars that are tagged to each like individual item that you're selling. Whereas I feel like when you're really aligned and when you're in divine timing and when you're saying yes to the call, you are allowing the product to align naturally with its intended audience. And that has been the case from day one with the Conscious Crop. So I have never felt so reaffirmed and seen and held by community, by the universe. And I want to thank you for really providing that space in that container.
No, we loved having you guys there. I mean, it would not have been the same retreat without you, not just without Conscious Crop, but also with you, Ashley, and Brenda, your sister, together, sharing so much. It was so amazing hearing from women in their 50s and 60s saying how much they learned from you two, you know, and being in your late 20s and early 30s. It was incredible to hear how these intergenerational relationships were formed and how much wisdom that you shared with them and they shared with you, and to be able to see that process. I remember me and Chloe looking over at each other like, the two of them need to come on every single retreat. We love them so much.
Truly.
And so just quickly to wrap up on Costa Rica, as a guest, like from your perspective, as a guest experiencing a Rising Nature retreat, what was that like for you? What were some of like your main highlights or main moments of your aha moments?
I think that what was really cool about Costa Rica is that I was so in my body. And that was one of my biggest intentions going in, is like we have these human shells that like connect us to this 3D plane, to the world that we're in, the planet. And my aim was to feel good in it. But also like through this retreat, I discovered, and we've been doing a lot of journaling, which I love how much you incorporate journaling and prompts and working with the elements in your retreat. But, you know, doing the inversion workshop, for instance, or surfing, even though it was really hard and frustrating for me, it shows me just how much I'm capable of. And it reminds me to be grateful for my body and the capability and that it allows me to do all that I was able to do on this retreat. And something else that came up as a huge theme was just like the healing of generational trauma. Mm. And my friend has this like mug that actually says like, I am my ancestor's dream, which I love.
Oh, wow.
Like that we get to experience.
I just got goosebumps. Wow.
I loved it.
I literally can't shake them now. That's beautiful. I need to get that cup.
I know.
Amazon.
But that we get to experience like what our ancestors couldn't. Mm. And like we are also healing generational trauma. And like this was all so integral as part of the Thrive Retreat in Costa Rica, you know, in this beautiful land with the locals and seeing just like their love of culture and the pura vida. And it was just absolutely magnificent.
So. Oh, thank you. And I think what's really cool is there was no like specific prompt of healing intergenerational trauma, learn from your surround. Like it was like, these are things that you just, it came up within you because you were given the space and the container to do so.
Absolutely.
And so we always say on our retreats, like it doesn't have to, like healing doesn't have to be hard. Sometimes it's painful. Sometimes it's challenging, but it doesn't always have to be hard. We can have a lot of fun and learn so much about ourselves on a surfboard, learn so much about ourselves in a salsa class, learn so much about ourselves speaking to someone 40 years older than us. So it's just such a cool experience to like see that from your eyes. And we respect your opinion and your feedback so much. So we really appreciate that. You travel a lot. And I would love for our listeners to learn from you in a way of how to stay grounded or how to stay like the rituals or the practices or the things that you do while you travel. Cause you not only travel for leisure, but you travel for work a lot. Every time I'm texting you, you're like, oh, I'm just leaving for South Africa or I'm just getting back from Bosnia or something. Like you travel a lot. So I'd love for our listeners to learn, like, what are some of your favorite easy, simple things that you do to stay grounded, stay centered, stay healthy while you're traveling?
Absolutely. And I think that the first thing is just like honoring the uniqueness of each journey that you take. So everything is, you know, influenced when you travel, from like the season that you're going to, the companions that you're traveling with, and the purpose behind every trip that you take. And so I think that this too, there's like an evolution. And I called it here an intention setting, you know, from when you're a kid in the younger years to when, you know, recently it's been more like spiritual modalities and practices that I've incorporated. But one thing that I love to do, which is kind of funny, is I take like a selenite wand that I have. And
what's selenite?
Which selenite?
What is selenite for
selenite,
people listening that might not know?
It's a crystal.
Okay.
So a crystal, it's typically, it kind of looks like a clear quartz. So like very clear in the middle. You can kind of
travel
with it. Translucent. Yeah. And it's like a wand. So it has a little bit more substance. So it's not going to break easily in your bag. So I throw it in my carry-on or checked bag. And it's kind of like bringing sage on a trip without having like a candle and a flame and all this stuff. You're really like clearing. To me, I believe selenite holds the power of clearing. And I bring that along, and whether it's an Airbnb, a hotel, a retreat center, anything, like having it and kind of going through that ritual of taking it out and decorating my space, and then also remembering the intention of like clearing and that this is my journey and this is new for me. And it's just been such a beautiful thing that I've incorporated. I also think that, for example, like something that I'd love to share is that, so I wanted to share my love of travel and also incorporate spirituality into my bachelorette when we went to Sedona, Arizona, actually. But it's an energy vortex, and it's also in my astral cartography. So I've actually felt so connected to that since I was 9 years old.
Wow.
And I returned when I was 29 years old.
Wow.
So this full circle, 20 years, you know, to return. And just sharing like the joy of connecting in nature, hiking the vortices, Bell Rock, going for dips in the creek, like cooking food with your friends and like not needing to go out to dinner all the time. We did a dinner where actually when we did go out to dinner, we intentionally set like basically the table placings where everyone was like in their astral element or like astrology element. So all the fire signs sat together, all the water signs, and like everyone ended up loving it. But like not all my friends are like super like woo-woo or into spirituality. So that was super cool. And I think that's intention setting for a trip in a big way, you know? So that's another example. And then understanding relationships, Another one that I wanted to bring up, and you know probably the intimacy that comes about with like taking road trips and like long road trips with anyone, you get super close to them. But someone that I've seen evolve and grow and change so much in that journey of travel and learn so much about themselves, the world, and become more interested in global affairs is my husband, Alex. And so we actually just recently got back from a beautiful summer in the Balkans, and we were road tripping together. But what I learned about my husband's astrology recently is that his rising and moon signs are in Cancer, which is my sun sign. But they say that like that rising sign or that placement in a rising sign in particular, they want to bring the whole house with them when they travel.
Right.
But you and I know how hard that is, especially when you're going overseas. You have like one checked bag. So we've taken a couple road trips in the States where we were able to bring his weights, his boogie board, you know, his guitar, his chessboard.
Oh my God.
But in the Balkans, all we had was like this stuffed horse that we've had since the beginning of our relationship, Bullseye. And so we just put him on the dashboard of the car. And I think that like made him feel like more at home and more connected and like ready to go and be on this trip, but still carry home along with him. So
that's awesome. So that reminds me a lot of, I believe it's episode 9 with Zoe Cardiff. She's an astrologer, and she talks about how you can use astrology to plan travel, to make your travels easier for you. And so that's something that's really cool is if you're a rising sign in Cancer or a moon sign in Cancer, maybe bringing like 1 to 2 small things from home that are going to really make you feel like you have that home feeling, because Cancers love to hunker down at home and feel like they're safe within their own shell. And so I think that's really cool. That's something that's I've never even thought about that. That's awesome.
Yeah, look into Sam's rising sign.
Yeah, I know he's a Cancer sun, so I'm with you on that one.
Perfect.
The very last thing I'd love is just to open it up if you want to share anything else with our audience before we go into our rapid fire questions at the end. Is there anything else you want to share with them about you or your journey or lessons?
Yeah. I mean, I'd love to talk a little bit about like integrating after travel.
Yeah, for sure.
If that's all right. So because this was one of the main, and I've talked about some of the most transformative trips I've ever taken on my life, but this kind of emotional struggle of like returning home to this fast-paced and Western society
100%.
After such a transformative retreat experience can definitely be like a shell shock or, you know, a shock to the system. And so I remember there was one point, and I know that you want to move to Costa Rica, but there was one point I was looking into Punta Mona. My husband was like going crazy. He's like, what is she doing now? And I'm like, I'm going to move to a permaculture farm and like live in community and grow our own food, and I'm done with this Western thing. And then I'm like, okay, but no, like, how do I like bring some of what I've learned back? How do I make my life kind of reflect more of like these retreat spaces that I've experienced? And it was kind of this idea. So first of all, I think there's this huge and this big idea of acceptance and acceptance of how you're feeling and like grief of moments that have passed. And there was this powerful moment in the kitchen in Maui where I talked to my friend Dorian, and I asked her how she kind of dealt with like the end of retreats, because she had gone to a lot. And she was like, you know, it's about like the accepting and passing of the beautiful moment and like really recognizing, you know, the second part then is like once you allow yourself to grieve that, you can recognize a deeper meaning in your life, but even in with routine tasks and like around routine people and but like also when you stop to think about it, you see how much you have right in front of you. And I remember, you know, I started bringing more spiritual modalities to Deloitte. They have their own version of human design called business chemistry. And I actually compared their like Deloitte's business chemistry to astrology one day. And I put this like PowerPoint, and you who are consultants know how much we like our slide decks.
Oh, yeah.
So I put together this PowerPoint of like all the astrology signs and how they like related to all the various, you know, archetypes of business chemistry. And I also told my team recently on a trip, I'm like, I'm so grateful because I think your vibe attracts your tribe. And through everything that, you know, I've gone through has led me to this team. It was also the team I came back to after I had taken that leave from work. And I said that I feel like this is my work tribe. And that was a really powerful and transformative moment for me. And it was a moment that I'm like, hey, I'm seen and appreciated for what I do. And also I appreciate these people so much and I'm learning so much here. Mm. So it's like finding soul tribe in unlikely places that or places that you didn't see before you had like a new eye, a new lens to really appreciate.
Right.
So one of the realizations I had come to, and I think I also listened to a podcaster, was essentially the goal is of integration ultimately is to obviate the need for it entirely. Because if we're living a life where this is the dream that we've manifested, we've created, and our life starts to reflect more of our manifestation, the more we align, the more we step into our power, the more we travel, learn, experience, if we can bring this back home, you know, and you've done such a beautiful job of that in Rising Nature Retreats, then that eliminates the need for this integration altogether, right?
100%. It's not so jarring coming back home if you're living in alignment with that higher self that you found on that retreat, on that trip. Because it doesn't just have to be a retreat. A lot of people come back home from really beautiful, amazing holidays or vacations or sabbaticals or whatever it is, and then they get really... There's just like this cognitive dissonance of, wait, this is the way that I was living my life while on retreat or on vacation. And then this is the way that I live my life at home. How are these two people within me at the same time? How are these two realities within me at the same time? Mm-hmm. Or what we find is you're on such a high vibration from the retreat, from the travel, from the nature immersion. And then you come back home and that same level of excitement and joy and like just pureness in your body and your being is not met at the same level of your loved ones. It's not to say they're not excited for you, but they're just not quite at that same vibration. So eventually over time, you lower your vibration. You lower your vibration so that you meet the same level. And then you look around, you're like, wait, how did this happen? What do you mean? This was just 3 weeks ago.
Right.
And so that's why for us, it's such a big part of our package of the retreat is this 4-week container of email support, WhatsApp support, hanging out with people outside of our retreat container back home. Checking in on phone with phone calls, with Zooms, because it's important to us that people understand that there is, in yoga, there's this concept called spanda. And it's like, it's the natural contraction and the natural expansion. It's like a rubber band. You can expand the rubber band as much as you want, but when you let go, it's going to snap back, right? Mm-hmm. And that's what we feel sometimes when we come home from big life-changing trips, like when you came home from Spain from study abroad, when you spend extended time in certain areas of the world, when you have big transformations. So that's something that we see a lot. So I really appreciate you touching on that, because that's not something that we've actually talked about on the podcast yet, is this process of integrating your travels and integrating lessons. And I think it's super important.
Of course. I'm happy to share.
Amazing. So, okay, we end the episodes with rapid fire questions. Woo-hoo. Number one is...
I do.
You're like, I need the A+, all right? So number one is, if you could only go back to one country or place in the world, where would it be and why?
So one of like my astral cartography places that I have not mentioned yet is actually Edinburgh, Scotland.
Oh, how cool.
And I love Edinburgh, Scotland. I mean, I love all of Scotland and I love the Highlands and I love, you know, the nature. And I know you recently traveled. Was it Ireland?
Ireland,
yeah. But Scotland, I also have roots in like Wales, and my family name is Celtic in origin. So like there is such a connection of like the lineage specifically from my father's side. But also just like this feeling of like certain places in the world just like vibrate differently, or like the veil between this world and like a different world are just a lot thinner. So for me, Edinburgh is like truly, truly magical. And I would love to go back there.
Awesome. Yeah, it's definitely on my list for sure. So number two is, what's number one on your bucket list right now?
Right now. And this is travel.
It could be anything. Okay. It could be a career bucket list, a travel bucket list, a family, whatever.
Okay. Well, I think that my next travel bucket list, and it's somewhere that my husband and I actually wanted to go to during our honeymoon, is Bali.
Okay.
And I know you have such a connection. You've spent time in Bali. Absolutely. But yeah, it was just, the world was still shut down, like, or Bali was still shut down when we wanted to go for our honeymoon in 2021. So we actually did South Africa instead, which was great.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And then number three is, what's the biggest life lesson you've learned while traveling?
Oh my goodness. This one I'm definitely not fully prepared for. Because I just feel like there's so many lessons. I feel like truly going into each experience without expectation, with kind of is true. Just like having an open heart and mind to like just have whatever is happening in that moment when you're traveling is actually perfect, and just, you know, divinely surrendering into the now and the moment, and like, you know, not overthinking it necessarily or like overpacking or anything to prepare, but like when you arrive, just knowing like you are so held and everything is there for you and the universe is on your side. That's probably my biggest trip tip, yeah, I guess. I or that. My biggest, was what was the question?
Biggest life lesson.
Biggest life lesson, not tip.
Well, the next one is your biggest tip. So what's your piece of advice for someone who wants to start traveling but hasn't quite made it out there yet?
I think when we think of traveling, we think about these huge trips, right? Mm-hmm. We think about like going to China or Bali or Egypt, you know, like seeing like these wonders of the world. But radical local travel can also take place in your state, in the Americas. Like there's just so much to experience even here at home, whether it be like the beauty of the natural parks. If you haven't even gone out west your whole life, you know, if you haven't seen snow your whole life, like you can still experience all these things in the States. And I always think that like anything else, I mean, your journey is your own, but if you maybe want to make it a little bit easier on yourself as someone that maybe doesn't feel fully comfortable taking a huge trip, kind of starting with small bites. Mm. And then also like just doing little things alone, I think is really important if you aspire to solo travel, whether that be going to a movie on your own or eating dinner on your own, like at a nice restaurant you wanted to eat on, like taking yourself out on a date, like, you know, those things, like people don't like to sit with themselves or sit in their own thoughts or reflections, or just even the appearance of like being by yourself makes a lot of people uncomfortable. And these are the things we do as solo travelers, you know, is like totally get comfortable in the discomfort.
So. Yeah, I think that's so important. Start small. Yeah. See how you like it. You might not like it.
Exactly. You may
and
think
either
you do.
You're like, okay, I don't quite like this. I'm uncomfortable, but I know I'm going to push past it. Or it could be a really hard no for you. And that's great that you started off small in the next city versus across the world in Europe, and then you're stuck there for
exactly.
a little while. So that's a really good tip. I love hearing people's advice to aspiring travelers because it just reminds you of just how much is out there for you to explore, like you said, not just these big international trips, but just like you can start small and you can see the world in that capacity and still get the benefits of it too.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, thank you so, so, so much. I am so excited for people to hear your story, and I'm just so grateful that we are still friends 10 plus years
yes.
later, and there's so much to come with Rising Nature, with Conscious Crop, with us. I'm just, really excited for people to learn more about you, and thank you, thank you, thank you.
Yes, so excited for the journey ahead, Kelly. My heart is so full, and yeah, I can't wait to see what the future holds.
Thanks. All right, we'll see you on the other side.
Sounds good.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Transform with Travel podcast. Don't forget to hit subscribe so you never miss an episode of inspiration, adventure, and exploration. If you felt inspired by this episode, please rate and review in whatever streaming app you're listening from. This allows us to spread the word even more and continue to serve up weekly doses of adventure. As always, we'd love if you could share the episode with someone in your life who you think will benefit from this conversation. Thanks so much for listening. This is your reminder to get out there and keep on exploring.